Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show, Thursday edition, sponsored by REW Financial. Talk to Rick and Lee and the folks at REW Financial. Visit them online, rewfinancial.com. Find out more about what they have to offer and how you can get sound in whatever your financial plans may be, especially when it comes to the retirement time. Steve, a big part of WKOK today. He'll be here the next couple of hours, and then he'll be back at 6 o'clock for the coach's show. And we're going to hear from, I think, Bill O'Brien later on this afternoon and definitely later on tonight in case you miss it. And we'll definitely hear from Chris Wheeler as well. Wheels will be talking about the Phillies and the new look of the Phillies and what they have going on for the future. Because let's face it, that's where Phillies fans are looking right now, is the future and not necessarily the right now. So that's what we have going on right now. Padraig Harrington took some of the attention away from Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy in the opening of the Barclays with a 7-under 64 at Bethpage Black. So be looking for an update there from Steve on the Barclays. And Tiger's still in the mix with Rory McIlroy. They had an interesting matchup yesterday. And believe it or not, a report coming out of Notre Dame is saying that a redshirt freshman has won Notre Dame's quarterback job. Everett Golson will be the starting quarterback, according to some reports, with Notre Dame. For 8 months, the quarterback quandary at Notre Dame is ranked among the most persistent mysteries of the season. But within the program, the answer seemed to be pretty obvious. At least that's what reports are coming out of the program. According to the Chicago Tribune, one of the most high-profile jobs in college football is now redshirt freshman Everett Golson's, who is set to be formally introduced as the starter for the Irish in the September 1st opener against Navy in Dublin, Ireland. Other sources have also backed up that prediction. So redshirt freshman getting the nod at Notre Dame. And if he's able to continue on, I mean, imagine what Notre Dame would be like in a couple of years when you can get, you know, a redshirt comfortable with playing college football and then another several years under his belt yet. Imagine that Notre Dame could be back to what Notre Dame fans remember. Now, the official measurements are 6'1", 185 pounds. That's according to the school. Golson is no one's idea of a prototypical quarterback, but it seems to be that they're comfortable with him right now. Segments of the fan base desperate for a viable counterpart to Reese. Many of them saw the need to get Golson's start in the spring game and saw his potential in that spring game. He was 11 of 15 for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that may be the reason he's getting that starting job. So, again, Notre Dame starting off with a redshirt freshman at quarterback. That's the latest news in the college football realm. It's nice to be able to talk about college football and not be talking about a scandal of some sort. Unfortunately, there are some scandals in there in the world of sports right now, but won't get into that. I can't wait to hear what Steve has to say, though, about Josh Beckett being placed on waivers. CBSSports.com is reporting that the Red Sox have placed right-hander Josh Beckett on waivers. Rival execs don't expect Beckett to be traded, in large part because of his contract, which runs through 2014 at $15.75 million for the next two seasons. Now, the Dodgers are kind of a wild card that may be interested in picking Beckett up, but it looks like the 32-year-old with a 5.23 ERA, 94 strikeouts, and 127 innings may be sitting at home watching baseball for the rest of the year. Parts of 12 major league seasons, he has a career ERA of 3.93. Three-time All-Star, finished second in the American League Cy Young voting in 2007. So again, reports coming out of Boston that the Red Sox have placed right-hander Josh Beckett on waivers. Just a couple of the topics that we may be touching on. As I said earlier, the Phillies will be a topic with Chris Wheeler coming up in just a few. And if you missed our discussion about the Steelers and Mike Wallace potentially coming back after this weekend, or actually showing up at training camp this weekend, you can find it online, stevejonesshow.com. That is our website, and you'll also be able to find each day's archives there. Again, that's stevejonesshow.com. Also on the Steve Jones Show website is our poll for the next few days. Have you been to a Little League World Series game? Not necessarily this year, but period. Have you or no? They had suspended. I've only seen .com. As I said earlier, our website. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors studio shortly. We'll have the Lenape Solar Hotline ready to go as well. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
The car company that helped build America is once again America's number one brand. Announcing the Labor Day sales event at Sunbury Motors with great deals for hardworking people like you. From now through September 1st, get a brand new Ford with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months. Plus up to $2,000 Labor Day bonus cash on a Ford Escape, Focus, Fiesta, Edge, Fusion, Flex, or Mustang. And $3,500 on built-tough Ford trucks, F-150 and Super Duty. During this limited time offer, everything is on sale. So get into a brand new Ford now with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $3,500 bonus cash. For complete qualifications and details, call 1-800-358-8090 or go to sunburymotors.com. The Labor Day sales event ends Saturday, September 1st, so hurry into SMC today. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Welcome back. Rick Weibel, REW Financial. Sponsoring today's show. I know that you made a big deal about Beckett going on waivers. Everybody goes on waivers.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. It seems like a big deal.
No, not a big deal at all.
So that doesn't mean they're releasing him?
No. It means they put him on waivers. You know how many different guys go on waivers in a year?
No, I've always thought if you went on waivers, you got released. I just thought that was automatic.
No.
Interesting.
Nope. Means they put them out there and see if anybody claims them. If somebody claims them, they withdraw it and see if they can work out a deal. See, that's what this time of the year is about.
That's interesting. With a 5.23 ERA, I don't see anybody jumping out of their skin, though. Do you?
No, but you try to find out where the interest is. See, the Red Sox and Yankees played this waiver game all the time when they were both really good. Where, you know, you know, where one tries to outdo the other and claim a guy. Well, a second guy's claim that gets withdrawn. You have no idea over the years the names that have been on waivers, the guys that have been claimed, and then suddenly out of nowhere, voila. You know, no deal.
That's interesting. Well, and as I said earlier, with a 15 plus million dollar contract that goes through 2014, nobody's in a big hurry, I'm sure, to pick him up either.
Right, but I'm just saying, but that's what, this happens all the time. That's how waiver deals are made. Guy has to be put on waivers.
See, I thought that just meant that it led to someone expressing interest and then it starts. That, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. Interesting.
Right, but yeah, they have to be claimed first.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be put out on waivers first to then, you know, to then go from there. So there you go. I mean, that's, I know you made a big deal out of it.
That takes all the wind out of my sails, but I'm glad you corrected me, though. That's good.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's
it's what
right.
we do.
See, I committed the sports report sin. I jumped at the at what looked like a big story, and I blew it up.
Well, I mean, he's been placed on waivers. Okay.
Right.
He can be.
Yeah, but you know, we were talking about uniforms the other day. This is one I didn't allude to earlier. Oregon has a new uniform.
They have a new uniform every game. They're the only team that has 12 different helmets. They play a different helmet every game. 13 of them.
This one.
They are Phil Knight's dream team.
This one looks like a yellow jacket. It's an all-yellow jersey with a black number and black feathers is what it looks like on the shoulders. And I think they're still using the helmets that I think should be illegal, the shiny silver ones.
Why should they be illegal?
Because didn't you see the liquid metal helmets? I mean, when the sun shines off it, it blinds the opposing team. That's an advantage.
They play in Oregon. The sun doesn't come out.
All right. Well, what if they play on the road? That's a good point, though. It is Oregon.
Oregon State, Washington State. Nah, the sun doesn't come out that much in most of the conference. Okay.
Well, all right. When they were in the Rose Bowl, it was kind of blinding, and I felt bad for the Wisconsin defensive backs trying to cover these guys.
I think the problem Wisconsin defensive backs have was called speed.
Looked like they were wearing a chrome fender on their helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. Today's show, and I had a long talk with Rick the other night. Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Brilliant at what he does. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Caterwitz, 11 to 15. Hummel's, Lenape Solar. Visit online at lenapesolar.com.
I will share with you that I did get the Paterno book yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I read different portions of it. I haven't read it cover to cover at the moment, but I was very impressed with the writing. I liked the way the story was told, at least what I've seen of it so far. The whole story, the Joe Paterno story. Not just the story about what has happened over the last 8 months or 6 months, but the whole thing his life. I do like that.
Well, good. At some point, I've already been asked by 4 people, did you read it? No. Are you going to read it? Yeah, at some point.
You're in the index, though.
I'm in the index?
Yeah, there's an index. There's a reference index, and you're in the reference index. Just telling you, when you look at the index and look up Steve Jones, it gives you a page where you're referenced.
Really? Yes. So I made the cut, huh?
You did. You made the cut. Congratulations.
Well, I'm beyond words. So I'm trying to think, what does that do for me?
I'm not sure.
Nothing.
But Guido has a lot of great comments and saying a lot of great quotes in some of the things that I've already read.
That would be Guido, yes. And look, one day Guido goes, Marcus Lattimore, okay? They're recruiting Marcus Lattimore, all right? And they're having a staff meeting. Okay? And in the staff meeting, Guido knocks on the door, goes in. I think they tell him something about it, and Joe laid into him, right? Because they were right in the middle of a staff meeting on Sunday. Joe laid into him. Guido was so mad he left and went back to Pittsburgh.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. No, wow. He was so mad he left and went back to Pittsburgh. Okay? I mean, furious. Came back, right? So Joe sees me in the practice field. He said, "Did you see Guido?" I said, "No." He says, "I did something I shouldn't have done." See, this is, he would do it. He'd like, if he felt guilty about it, he'd tell you, "I did something I shouldn't have done." I said, "Why?" I said, "What'd you do?" He says, "I kind of got into it with Guido. I sort of knew the story already." I said, "Then I see." He says, So it was, finally, Guido stays away till Thursday. Do the talk show. And so, with me standing there, I guess I was a buffer or something. I don't know. He sort of apologizes to him. You know, he's laughing like and trying to get me to join in and laugh. we don't want to laugh that much.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can only imagine.
But it was, you know, and I'm standing thinking, why am I being dragged to this thing? I have nothing to do with this. But that was whenever Lattimore was being recruited. I want to say 9. Guido took out. He was so.
But he has some really interesting quotes and interesting observations in the book. Like I said, in the few brief chapters that I've read so far.
Look, Guido's a very intelligent guy. He understands. He gets it. Okay? And but he does. Always has. That's why the parts of the book that you see, for example, you know, where he's referencing, you know, he's giving Joe, say, look, you know, that part that everybody's already seen, right? Where
right.
He says, look, you know, they think you know. Guido knew, okay? I mean, he always had a sense for what was going on in the public eye. Always did. Now, does that mean they didn't butt heads from time to time? Of course they butted heads from time to time. Was I president when they butted heads a couple times? Yep. Did I lay low? Yep. Did I get to hear each side of the story once in a while? Yep. You know, so it happened. You know, that's the way it is. So, yeah, so I would expect that he would be in there a lot. I mean, I would expect that.
There's one part of the book that is describing right around the time that everything's breaking, when all the news is breaking and the reporters in the front yard and everybody else's yard and the family just being in there. And it's a very – I don't want to take it away from anything because it's well described in the book. And – it just really puts you in the moment from a different perspective, from inside and not outside looking in.
Mm-hmm. I know. Look, I'm sure that will be very interesting to read. I will get around to reading it at some point.
And listen, I don't often read books. For me to be intrigued in a book and for a long period of time, that's doing something.
Okay.
Well, I admit it. I freely admit it. You have to really draw me in to get me to read a book cover to cover, and I had trouble putting it down last night.
Well, good. That's good. But no, Joe's a good guy. Eventually, we'll get Joe on as soon as Kelly and I from Simon & Schuster work things out. Because she's the issue. As I pointed out to her, I said, now I get to say I was in the index. So I made the cut, huh?
You did. You made the cut. Well, I'm not quite sure how much of you made the cut, because like I said, I only read bits and pieces so far.
And of course, you know exactly how concerned I am about this.
Oh, I knew it bothered you. That's why I wanted to tell you.
Yeah, that's terrific. Chris Wheeler.
He didn't make the cut, by the way.
But he'll make the cut on this show. He's coming up. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, Ray Dittinger. Eagles and Phillies talk today on the show. How about that? Tomorrow, Dave Joyner and some guy named Bill O'Brien. You like that? Next week, Denny McClain.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Kevin, all concerned today about Notre Dame backup quarterbacks and waivers that are standard on Major League Baseball players.
Well, are you going to tell me that a redshirt freshman starting in Notre Dame is no big deal either? You took all the wind out of my sails about
with Brian Kelly, does it matter?
Probably not.
He'll burn that kid out too. Certain guys are very hard on quarterbacks. He is very hard on quarterbacks. Okay? Steve Spurrier, when he was at Florida, very hard on quarterbacks. In fact, the irony is, as much as we talk about Florida quarterbacks and what Spurrier did at Florida, blah, 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 right? How many of those guys were in the NFL?
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
I mean, sorry to burst everybody's bubble, but fact is fact. Just didn't.
So let's see. Is there anything in the first 15 minutes of the program that's going to be entertaining? Yep, guess not.
I know you tried.
Oh, man, you shut everything down. I'll tell you.
So what we'll do is, while you emotionally regroup.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It is time now to bring in one of the voices of the Phillies, Chris Wheeler. Wheels, well, what we'll do is we'll do this in two parts. What we'll do first is we'll talk baseball with my questions, and then I'll answer your Penn State football questions. How about that? Does that sound like a good deal to you?
Well, you got that figured out, Steve. No doubt. You hit it right on the head. That's what we'll do.
All right. So we'll start with my questions, and then at a certain point, I'll take your questions.
Thank you. I'll be like a caller to your show.
Okay, great. Oh, but just remember, we called you.
Yeah, this will be Wheels from Bluebell calling.
I like it. After the last few years where you get to this point of the year and you're thinking, okay, now how will it shape up for the playoffs? It's been obviously a year unlike any other. Was there anything early that was a tip off that something like this might happen? Maybe not to this degree, but something like this?
Yeah, and in my opinion, Steve, the number one tip off would be the failure to shut teams down in the late innings, because that's fatal. In baseball nowadays, you have to have a back end of a bullpen, because the starters go to a certain point, especially early in the year, and then your seventh, eighth, ninth, that's really huge. And early in the year, our club was losing all kinds of games in the seventh, eighth inning. It didn't even get to the ninth inning. I think we had 6 or 7 walk-off losses on the road early in the year. Little things like that, to me, sent up the red flag, like, oh boy, this is going to be a problem right now, because this team is not scoring a lot of runs. So they're in close games all the time, and now they're getting late in the game, and they can't hold on. So that, to me, was the number one thing that I thought, oh, this could be a problem in the long run.
And especially when you look at the starting rotation is as fine as anybody's starting rotation, and the closer is as fine as anybody's closer. It's the stuff in between that has been just a killer.
Yeah, and no matter who they tried, it didn't work. And weird ways to lose games. And then the injury to Halliday really set things back. And the fact that Lee couldn't win a game, that all kinds of bizarre stuff would happen to him. Either he would cough up a lead late in the game, or the guys that would come in to try and fix it up for him would cough it up. And it was just one thing after another. And all that coupled with the fact that Howard and Utley weren't in the lineup, the offense, as I said, barely could score three runs a game. And when you only score three runs a game, no matter how good your pitching is, you're going to be in a close game at the end. So you have a heck of a chance to lose those games, too. And that's what happened with the Phillies a lot this year.
Once July 31st was rolling around, deals were expected, and there certainly were some people expected to be dealt and were. Was there any deal, though, that did surprise you about somebody being dealt?
I was surprised they moved Pence, I'll be honest with you. Victorino I could see, because he's going to be a free agent, and we weren't going to re-sign him. His demands were a little high, and they had made it pretty clear they weren't going to go there with Shane. But Pence was under contract for another year. So that did surprise me. But evidently the package they got involving a young catcher named Joseph, who's at AA right now at Reading, they really liked him in that deal, and that made it more possible for them to do it. They had seen what you could get out of Pence. They had seen the positives and the negatives from Hunter, and there are both, and decided that they could move on there and hopefully in time find somebody who could play a corner outfield position and give a close to the production that he does. And that's a lot. He does give you a lot of production. But he was also, Steve, in situations this year trying to hit 3, 4, 5 in our lineup, but he was overmatched there. He just could not handle that. That was not a good spot for him, and I think everybody saw how many times he would leave men on base or not be able to do that. We kept getting the question, hey, you got a man on first and second. Why didn't he hit a ball to the right side? And I say, because he only has one swing.
Right.
And if he hits a ball to the right side, it's an accident.
Right.
So, you know, he wasn't that kind of player that could do those kind of things.
He's a 5 or 6 hitter in the lineup. Exactly right.
Right. And he just goes up there and swings. There's no game plan.
That's right, exactly. And sometimes that's not a bad game plan. Other times it doesn't fit the moment.
Well, if you hit his bat enough times, it's okay. If you don't, it doesn't look real good.
That's exactly right. What kind of statement did the Phillies make about re-signing 28-year-old Cole Hamels?
Well, I'd like to think it was a big positive statement to the fan base, Steve, because as you just gave his age, he won't be 29 until December. He's at the peak of his career right now, and barring injury, he's going to have a lot of good years. Because stuff-wise, he can't help but have good years if he's healthy. He's just one of those premier pitchers in the game. They wanted to sign him. And the best thing I think about it was Cole wanted to stay here. Everybody kept saying, oh, he's from Southern California. He wants to go to the Dodgers. He wants to go to the Padres. And you know how it is when you do shows like you do or people call in. Everybody has an opinion, and they throw stuff out there, and then all of a sudden some of it becomes fact after a while when they have no idea what they're talking about.
Right.
Well, when you're around Cole, you knew that wasn't the case. Now, if the Phillies hadn't come to the area where he thought that he was worth and his agent didn't decide, sure, he would have explored that. But he no way had in his mind that he had to go to Southern California to be happy the rest of his life. He likes it here. He likes the East Coast. His wife likes it here. He's fine. His kids, they're in school here, and everything's good about it. So he wanted to stay.
Well, Cliff Lee did the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a special area. Just because you grow up someplace doesn't mean another area can't be home to you. I've always been baffled by that.
Yeah, and they like playing here too, Steve, for obvious reasons. You know, the sellouts and the crowd and the enthusiasm. It's such a great baseball town. You and I have talked about that before, you know, that I've always felt that from New England down to a little bit south of Wilmington is a certain fan base. Yeah. They live and die with their teams. They take it personal when you lose. They stick out their chest when you win. It's my team. And it's not that way in other places in the country. It's more just sports. Here, it's very, very different. And they get caught up in it, especially when you're successful the way this franchise has been.
And that you're exactly right about the corridor. I mean, there are two franchises right now playing to better than 100% of capacity, the Phillies and the Red Sox. Right. The irony is neither one's doing well this year, and that they're both still over 100%.
Well, that the fan base in both areas also like to be miserable at times, too. So, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Exactly. Exactly, they do. And then you look at Tampa Bay. Obviously, it's in the American League, but they're a really good team, as you saw in the World Series when you saw them firsthand. But they're a really good organization now. They drew 9,000 one night and 10,000 the next against Kansas City, and they've won six of their last seven games.
It's unfortunate because we know that franchise so well, obviously, because we train in Clearwater.
Right.
So, you know, I've seen them since they started down there, and the tremendous job they've done with their farm system, with the things they've been able to do as far as making deals to fill holes, with Joe Maddon and his staff has done since they've come over there. But the bottom line is it's just – and, I hate to run other people's franchise, but having been around that one so much, they really needed to be in Tampa.
Yes.
Is where they need to play because then they can draw from the south, from St. Pete, Sarasota, Bradenton, but they can also get up into that really into that Orlando area, that I-4 corridor you hear so much about from Tampa to Orlando. They can play off that a little bit better. Just Tampa, I think, would have done it. All that said and done, St. Pete stepped forward when the time came to build something, and the place is not a great place to watch a game. Tampa did not, and they got left behind. Right. And now with the economic situation it's been over the last few years, you can't go to people and ask for taxpayers to build a ballpark for them necessarily, and it just hasn't worked out. And I think as much as anything, that's what contributes to the problems they have. But they have a really good team, and they've done a great job in their organization.
No question, because the irony is that the Bucks, South Florida, and the Lightning all play on the Tampa side, and all of them are drawing well.
It's just different when you're down there. And St. Pete has come a long way, Steve. It's not, you know, the old tired jokes about you go there and hear the arteries harden and all that. It has. It's really changed. Now, is it a retirement area? Yeah, sure, in a lot of ways it is. But the city has done a lot of things. Unfortunately, that franchise needed to be in Tampa, in my opinion.
Right, and I think you make a great point. Any players here over the next 4 or 5 weeks that you're anxious to see whether they have a future with the club down the road? A couple of young guys. Are you anxious to see a couple of young guys? Which ones might they be?
Well, Dominic Brown is number one,
right.
And he's playing a lot right now, and you take the good and the bad with a young player. He's very crude in a lot of ways. He, you know, all the reports we get is he was going to go and play wideout at Miami. That's the kind of athlete he is.
Yeah.
Tall, lean. He looks like a skills player in college football. That's the kind of player he looks like. So he hasn't played a lot of baseball. He really has a lot to learn about the game. But there's all kinds of potential there that they see. So they're going to keep playing him and see what happens. We have a big, tall relief pitcher that's here right now. Probably go back. And then maybe come up in September, we hope, named Philippe Aumont. And he was in the Lee deal from Seattle. And he's a BB thrower. Of course, sometimes his BBs are on the screen, so that doesn't do you any good when he's having trouble with his command. But that's a guy that you would really like to see at some point this year and see if they can get him into games and see if he has potential to be at the back of the bullpen. We got another guy named Darren Ruff who's at Reading right now. He's hit 30-some home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a first baseman, evidently, and kind of blocked in our organization at first base for a long time with Ryan Howard. And there's a lot of talk about maybe they'll bring him up in September, let him get some at-bats, because Charlie loves to watch guys that can hit. So those are some names that kind of jump out.
Yeah, I'll give you a name to file away for maybe a few years down the road at Williamsport.
Yeah.
Roman Quinn, the shortstop.
Yeah, I hear a lot of good
blaze.
Things about him.
Absolute blaze. I've now watched him 10 games this year. Switch hitter, but the big part about him, lightning quick, and he makes up a lot of ground at shortstop. He can go from behind the bag at second to deep in the hole, and he covers it with ease.
Hey, I'm glad to hear you bring him up because we've heard that there's a couple kids at Williamsport that have ability. That's so far from the major league.
I just file it away for like 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, but I've heard about it. You know, we've all heard about Quinn. They got another kid there, and I'm trying to think of
Saratella.
Who's that?
Saratella.
Now, there's a left-handed hitter.
Yeah, he's a left-handed hitter. Chris Serratella.
Well, maybe that's a good, but Ruben's been talking about them in our farm system people. They think they have some prospects there, but yeah, always have to temper when you and I are just talking about how far away Williamsport State College, that league, is to the major leagues. Quinn is just learning how to switch it.
Yes.
So that's another whole thing.
Yeah.
But to use his speed the way that he's using it, he sounds exciting.
Yeah, he is. I want to get before we get to your questions on Penn State football, one more question. Your take on the Nationals and Steven Strasburg, since it is the hot topic right now.
Oh, boy.
That sums it up right there.
Yeah, that's another thing. Jim Thome had a great expression that I love that I try to use, and you'll understand because you get in the same situation. You know, stay in your own lane.
Yeah.
And that's one of those stay in your own lane situations that you don't want to talk about another organization and what they do with their player, and it's their business, and they know better than you do.
Right.
All that said and done, I can't imagine that fan base, how they're going to react if they shut this kid down. And they're having an amazing year. They're obviously going to go to postseason play. But here's the thing. When you take a number one pitcher, we had it happen this year with Halliday.
Yeah.
You take a number one out, you start sliding other guys up. All of a sudden they wake up one day and they may not be the same guy because they're not in the same comfort zone they were before. Some of that could play into that. But if they feel they have to shut Strasburg down, they're going to do what's right for him and for the organization. Having been in this business for as long as I have, sometimes this stuff doesn't come along as quickly as you. I remember back at 80, I thought, oh, man, we're going to win this every year for 5 years.
Exactly.
And it took till 93 to get back to even postseason. So sometimes everything that's going right for you some year can go wrong the next year, and they'll have to look at all that. And I'm sure, Steve, I'm sure they factored all that in. I can't imagine him being shut down, but they seem to be adamant about doing it.
Yeah, I think David Johnson made the statement, well, nobody made a big deal when we shut down Jordan Zimmermann last year. Look, you're in fourth place last year. Nobody noticed. Yeah. This is noticeable.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm sure
very noticeable.
Davey, in his wisdom, knew that what he was saying was not going to go over real well.
No.
Jordan Zimmermann is a heck of a pitcher, but he's not Steven Strasburg. And as you say, they were not going to contend last year and were contending when they shut him down. It was no big deal.
Right. Okay, so now I want you to leave with I want to go to Chris and Bluebell. so I want you to leave feeling like you got something out of this.
You know, it's funny. You know me. I really do pay attention to everything. And, you know, obviously you've had to go through all the sanction stuff. And,
sure.
And I guess the one thing I want to ask you, Bill O'Brien impresses me so much with his – he reminds me of Charlie in a lot of ways, Manuel, in that – you know, people come in and say, oh, Charlie, poor you. You don't have this guy, and you don't have that guy, and you don't have this. And he says, I can't worry about what I don't have. I can only worry about what I do have. So is O'Brien kind of that same type of guy? Because he sure sounds like it.
Chris, he absolutely is. He is a next man up kind of guy. So in other words, he looks around and says, okay, I can't control that. This guy left. I can't control that. This guy left. So they made their decisions. Well, this is my team. He takes that. He really gives you that. There was that scene in Hoosiers with Gene Hackman where the kid defies him and doesn't go the 3-4 passes and just takes it and shoots. So he benches him, puts another kid in the game. Well, one of the kids fouls out, so he has to put the shooter back in the game. He refuses and he says, "My team's on the floor," right? And the official says, "What?" He says, "My team is on the floor." Well, that's Bill's feeling. Bill's feeling is my team is on the field. He's not going to worry about the guy in Southern California, the guy in Oklahoma, the guy in Florida State. He's worried about the guys that are in front of him, and that's been his attitude. And I think that really helps because the kids pick up on that.
Well, that's great to hear because it sure sounds like it. And one thing you're just mentioning, the kid in USC and the kid – one thing about all our players after they left, they sure didn't go to small schools. It just shows you what a great job they did recruiting up there all the years for those kind of kids that when they leave Penn State where they went to big programs. That really impressed me when I saw that.
Yeah, and the ones that stayed were also being pursued by big programs, but they decided this is the big program they wanted to be with.
Well, you keep Michael Mowdy and some of those guys healthy, Steve. It sounds like the defense should be fun, and I'm sure Bill O'Brien's going to try to do what he can to be creative on offense. And I'm sure, like you, I can't wait for the first. You can't wait for the first game and just see what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I can't wait because, and you know what? I think Wheels once you can get into the mode where you can watch a little more football, I think you're going to be impressed by what McGloin does with this offense. I think you're going to enjoy that part. And I want to make sure that you know that when you get up here, okay?
Yeah.
You got to stop up. You got to stop up, hang with us. And
I will.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm coming to the Ohio State game. I know already when Renee and I are coming up. So I will be in touch with you and take you up on your kind offer. I would love to hang out with you and Jack and Roger and all the whole gang. That would be a kick for me, too.
Yeah, believe me. We'd love to have you. Can't wait. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. And make sure that you stay in touch with us, because when October 27th rolls around, we'll make sure that that friends get together.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the show tonight.
Okay. Wheels. That's right. Bill O'Brien will be on tonight. Looking forward to that. Damons. Kevin, has anybody claimed Beckett off waivers yet?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. On Thursdays, as always, very thrilled to be sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and our phone line at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, visit them online at lenapesolar.com. We just use the Lenape Solar hotline to dial up Chris Wheeler. And next up, we're going to dial up Ray Dittinger from CSN.com, the Eagles insider, Hall of Fame sports writer. Looking forward to that. Kevin, meanwhile, still seeing who else has been placed on waivers. Apparently, Willie Mays.
I understand that it doesn't really matter, so I'm not really focused on it.
You're all excited, though. The first 15 minutes, you were gung-ho.
Well, maybe that's why I only get 15 minutes on the program.
Well, we may have overshot today. Thanks to Wheels, Ray Dittinger on the Eagles next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sarah Bartlett is next with the news.